Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, it's summertime.
It sure is. It feels like summer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Are you kind of like flighty and out of it?
A little bit. Yeah. That's why our quality of programming has been
gone
top-notch. So, Maysoon, we got to go see all the shows. I haven't seen any
shows. What
shows
are you
You've
trying to
seen
see?
All the shows. Have you seen all the shows?
I've seen a couple shows.
Okay, tell me about
I saw I saw Catherine Clark has a show up. It's a group show. You know Catherine Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
And I don't
spells it differently than I do. Spells it with a C.
With a C, right.
And an A. So the show up right now over there at Catherine Clark is We Tell Ourselves Stories in Order to Live. It's a group exhibition, and that's going to be up until September 1st, so there's plenty of time to go see it.
And there's all sorts of, like, big-name artists in this. We got Sophie Cal, we got Lenora Carrington, we got Stephanie Sayuko.
Linka Clayton.
Yeah.
Edgar Martins, Patrick Staff, Catherine Vetney.
Catherine Vetney, whose work I first saw at
Second Floor Projects,
which I loved. This is sort of a different installation than the one I saw at Second Floor. And in this piece, so this artist melts down
basically crystal
mm-hmm. Pitchers and glasses.
Right. And then does something where it's mirrored then. Treats it where it's very, very reflective.
For some reason, I thought that they were silver pitchers, but then you read the material list and it's actually...
She does something to treat
to make it have that
metallic. Give it. Yep.
But in this show, I think when I first saw the work, there were these melted sort of crystal pitchers on the floor or like hanging flat on the wall. And then the Catherine Clark show, they're displayed kind of draping and dripping over
black pedestals.
Yeah, over many black pedestals kind of clustered together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was...
Sounds like you weren't as into this.
Wasn't as excited about this presentation of the work, but... Still a fan of her work. Still want to see what she does next.
Was it just blasting you in the eye too hard?
No, I guess I just didn't like the pedestals. I just didn't want them there.
Hmm.
There were too many. It just felt like it took away, these like big black monoliths took away from the work as a pretty delicate and amazing just on its own. And I felt like maybe if they weren't black, it would have been better. But I think white pedestals would have been weird too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not totally sure what the answer would have been, but it just wasn't my favorite presentation of the work.
Okay. What else was there?
Let me see if I can get... There was this one artist who... Do you know... I believe she's British.
Is it Linka Clayton? 50 library books.
50 library books. And so their books just stacked in a pile. One single vertical column. It's something that can happen in any location. The artist doesn't actually select the books. There's like instructions that the gallery or the gallery would follow. And they basically had to check out 50 books where each book had the number 1, 2, 3 and so on in the titles.
Oh, cute.
So they're arranged by numeric order, basically by title.
Oh, wild. Yeah. So there's like 10-year stretch.
Yeah.
11 pipers piping.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Because I initially was kind of like, so I wonder what the significance of these books is. Because I didn't notice the number thing right away. Like the funny thing, what we notice when we're looking at things. And I asked the gallery person, like, oh, well, this is the rule or this is the instruction.
Wild.
So that was kind of fun.
Wild. That's playful. Wow. Okay. I want to know which staff member of the gallery has to go and do that.
Yeah.
That'd be a kind of a fun little exercise, I imagine.
And I believe 50
library books.
I believe 50
is, there really
is the
50?
Max.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think 50 is the maximum number of books that can be checked out at
50.
The SF library.
There actually are 50.
Yeah. There are 50 because otherwise you would notice pretty quickly.
What if you can't find? What if you're in a small town and you haven't got a 43?
I don't know. Maybe we should try this. Maybe we should ask the artist to do this installation in a small town.
Uh-huh.
I went with a friend who fell asleep in the video.
Oh, what was the video? Weed Killer. That by Patrick Staff.
Well, we were just in there watching this video, and it was in many parts, and I couldn't tell how long it was. 17 minutes, but I feel like I was in there for at least 10. We were initially attracted by the sound. It was sort of like a free jazz sound coming out of that space, and so we went in there, and then my friend started snoring.
Wow.
So I was like, hey, should we go now?
What's the etiquette on that?
You
I
just
think
wake
you
your
as a
up.
Friend are responsible for the snoring
We're
person.
Definitely responsible for
Don't
our
feel like just because it's not you snoring that you don't have to take some, you know.
What if they start drooling? Are you responsible for that too?
To clean up the drool? No,
definitely
but you are
that.
Responsible to wake up the person and let them know that they were drooling.
Yeah.
And then they are responsible to clean the drool.
Yes.
Any liquids that come out of your body, anything that comes out of your body, you are responsible to clean it up.
I agree.
Unless you're in some sort of impaired state where
you can't,
you know, then I would say you. If you bring a friend to a gallery and the friend is so intoxicated or whatever that they end up making a mess in the gallery, if you knew that that was going to be a possibility,
I think maybe it
is your responsibility to clean it up. I think we all need to take more responsibility in our lives.
I wouldn't be able to clean that up, but I would definitely be like, we're not going anywhere.
But you're bringing the friend in May soon.
I know. That's
I think
what I'm
you're
saying.
Also responsible if your friend is so wasted. When they're going to a gallery, that they're going to have some kind of functions
what
happening.
What if it's the artist?
If the artist
is also your friend, but is also the artist whose work is on view, gets so wasted.
If the artist gets so wasted. Okay, so it's the
That's
artist and
happen.
Their work is on view in
yeah.
the gallery.
What about that?
I think that falls on the gallery.
That's so fucked up.
Why?
Because the artist should get their shit together, or
the
person the
gallery
trash.
Needs to take responsibility in vetting their artist.
Oh,
you know, you must shepherd the artist. I've seen artists get very wasted at their own shows
to the point
not
where, they
where they're peeing in the corner
or
anything.
A mess.
Although I have also seen artists peeing in the corner,
but
it was
part
planned.
Of, it was part
yeah.
of the performance, wasn't it?
So anyhow. Yeah. Any other questions about that? I'm willing to jump into the hypothetical realm.
I'm just thinking about like the disgusting bathrooms, gallery bathrooms, and who's responsible.
Which galleries have the best and worst bathrooms?
Yes.
Okay, great. You know, I heard stories about SOEX's bathrooms, but I never had a bad experience in there.
Their
and
bathrooms
very
are pretty
private.
Disgusting. I just don't think they're clean. And I'll say when I worked there, the staff was responsible for cleaning the bathrooms, which I tell you really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I will just definitely remind everyone that that stinks to have to clean bathrooms after everyone else uses them.
I like Root Division's bathrooms because they are non-gender exclusive.
Yes.
And I think that's very cool.
So
are they
are
still
as well.
Right? They changed the signs and everything, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
So good job there. Never had a bad experience in that bathroom. Mm-hmm. Hosfeld Gallery has a very fancy bathroom.
I haven't been in their bathroom.
I forget if you have to ask them for a key. I think you can just go
I
back
I don't think
there.
So. Because if you already made your way up the stairs and through their security gate, because you got to buzz
to
get
buzzed
anyhow.
In. Yep. Never use the restroom at Catherine Clark.
I was there the other
sure
day.
I'm not sure if they have one.
Of course they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Have you used it?
No.
Hmm.
How about Minnesota Street? What are their bathrooms like?
I love them because the stall door goes almost all the way to the ground.
Oh, you like that?
Or maybe it
privacy.
Goes the full all way. I love a private bathroom.
What about those bathrooms where you walk in to one big space and then there's like, you're literally going into a separate room with the door closed. It's like soundproofed.
Oh my God, where is
those
that?
Those kind of freak me out. I've been to some of those at bar, like different bars or restaurants in San Francisco. I feel like... I don't know. They feel sort of unsafe to me. Like if you,
wait,
if you yelled, no one could hear you kind of a thing.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know if that's totally true, but I feel like it's too closed in. Like I get wanting
you want
private.
A little more of a communal experience
well,
when you're
I
in
either
the public
want,
restroom.
Like the door from the hallway into the bathroom is a private bathroom or the door from the hallway into the bathroom is like a more communal bathroom experience. Not
I would. I would never put communal and bathroom
together
in my mind or in my heart.
I don't mean communal. I just mean...
Nightmare. That's a nightmare.
No, but
I
just
literally
like
will have a nightmare tonight because of that thought.
Can we all have a communal bathroom together?
God, no.
You know what I mean, where there's like three stalls, but they're not like sealed off from one another.
I would love them to be in separate floors of the building.
I would too. But that's what I'm saying. Think about it. If you came into a room.
Okay.
And I'm envisioning in that room, yes. There was a sink.
Yep, got
and
it.
And then there were like four. Stay on mic. Then there were four bathroom spaces. But they weren't stalls. They were actual little rooms that were completely.
Like there's a fucking wall.
Hermetically sealed, ceiling and all walls and doors.
I don't know if I need it hermetically sealed.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like completely sealed. You can't hear what any.
Yeah, okay. So like some fancy hotels.
Fancy hotels have
okay,
that.
Okay, sure.
I don't love it. It kind of freaks
me out. It doesn't feel unsafe to me. It feels fine. Although the one I'm envisioning when you're saying this, Maysoon, are the ones that have the doors with the slats where if you're like way down low, you can look in. You know what I mean? Where it's not a door. You know what I'm talking about. They got the
blind, like a mini blind.
Yeah, kind of like that. They don't move up and down, but you can see out up. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're seated, right? No, you can't see up. You can see down.
So that means someone who's down
because they could see down. Point is, there's some kind of optical tomfoolery happening where they can't see in, but there's kind of some kind of permeability. Visually there.
I don't think I've ever seen that
before.
That
makes me incredibly uncomfortable.
Sounds like kind of like a bar door, like a
I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that. They got these fancy ones now where when you turn the light on in the bathroom, the wall becomes opaque, but then when it's off, it's clear.
Oh.
I say hell no to that.
What?
I say no to that.
I've never seen that before.
We are just let's go ahead and just take a moment though to know and be thankful for how much privilege we have to have private bathrooms, running water,
all
this stuff. I mean, I am so grateful to be able to privately go to the bathroom.
To be able to shit
day.
In person, shit in private.
In person.
I love that I can piss in person.
You know what I mean? Okay, but anyhow, Maysoon.
So that's my thing.
I just want to throw
like
one more out there. Wait.
Crazy sealed bathroom situation.
No, I do. I wish I could go
you
to
love those?
Another
okay. When I see
realm.
One, I'm gonna,
I wish
I'm
I could
gonna,
change dimensions.
I'm going to give you the location.
Okay. So overall score for this Catherine Clark show?
6, 7.
Okay. Not bad.
Not
mind blowing.
Not mind blowing. Exactly.
Okay. What else did you see?
And then I saw this show. So this is all last week, actually, not this current week. I saw the show at Hausfeld.
Ooh, how was that? I really want to go
see
that.
It's called Frankenstein something. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
With Serby Seraf.
Serby Seraf is in it. So this show, is it called Frankenstein's Birthday Party?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was just called Frankenstein. Anyhow, it's to celebrate the bicentennial of, you know, Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein. And there's a whole shit ton of artists in it. We got Bruce Conner, Janine Antoni, Kiki Smith, Barbara Kruger, William
Jesus
T. Wiley.
Christ.
It's like, it's just crazy.
How is Hausfeld Gallery, have they always been like, what
Louise
What
Bourgeois?
Does that mean? Like, how much insurance coverage do you have to have?
Millions of dollars? Tens of millions of dollars for some of these artists?
I mean, do you think that the work to selling it is probably that much? Is it all on sale?
I have no idea.
Are
I
you
don't,
making
I don't
millions
look at that
of
shit.
Bucks off that?
But there was this artist, again, Patricia Piccinini. Have you heard of her?
Sounds familiar. But that's what
Piccinini,
I always say so that you think I'm informed.
I know. That's not the way to do it.
Yep.
Who had some really interesting.
Oh, wait. Maysoon.
Oui?
Oh, can you remind me about her?
Oh, that one?
That's my
That's
way.
A good one. Yeah. Is this our fake until you make it episode?
Yeah, I know her, but can you remind me?
Oh, yeah, sure. So she had these. She had this one in particular incredible sculpture, I believe it was made out of silicone, of a little girl.
Silicone.
Sorry.
You got Silicon Valley on the brain.
I think that's why I say silicone.
You got tech.
Isn't it the same word?
Techitis.
Listen.
Silicone is the like latexy rubbery stuff.
Yeah.
Silicon is like. I don't even know what it is.
Isn't it referring to that?
I think it's like one of the
stuff?
Periodic elements.
Silica.
Silica is like in limestone and shit.
Okay. We'll have our science episode next week, everyone, when Kate and I do our proper research on the difference between silicon and silicone. Anyhow, this artist, Patricia Piccinini, maybe, has this piece called The Comforter from 2010. It's silicone fiberglass steel fox fur human hair and clothing.
Ooh.
And it's a human size sculpture and realistic sculpture of a little girl who has some kind of rare occurrence, maybe, where she has hair all over her
body.
Oh,
yes, I know this piece.
Sorry, I don't
yeah.
know what the
No, cover. I know this piece. So it's a sculpture of like a woman holding like a very unusual baby creature.
Baby, but completely.
It's like a weird octopus starfish yeah. with a mouth.
Yeah, exactly. But it's amazing how realistic it looks.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
have you seen it in person? You should
no,
see it.
No, that's why I wanted to go see. Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
I've seen this artist's other work. It's also strange.
I like her work. It's mm-hmm. so strange. And I like it for that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was definitely worth going to see that work alone.
How long is that show up?
It's up through August 11th.
Oh, great.
So
plenty
there's
of
still
time.
Some time.
Plenty of time.
I would
thank you,
definitely
Lord.
Try to get out there. It's great the way she's installed. She's just leaning on one of the columns in mm-hmm. the gallery space.
Yeah, very casual.
And so when I went to see the show, there was another person sitting in the gallery on the
Uh-oh.
Opposite column facing her, facing the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
And I think this was just an artist who was sketching.
Uh-huh.
But it was amazing because he was in the same sort of position as her.
And then you look over expecting this sculpture to move.
Well,
you weren't
sure what was going on. You're like, when you first walk in, if you're not familiar with the piece and you don't know what you're in for, you're like, oh, these two young artists are sitting here sketching. Who knows what they're doing, you know?
Feeding
and then you get a little closer
baby.
And you're like, okay, that guy's moving. That one starting to look a little unusual. They're holding something. You look a little closer. You don't want to get too close. You don't want them to freak out and be like, hey, lay off, lady. You're getting a little too close to me if it's a real person. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That kind of moment in the art gallery, which I really appreciate. I like those moments of like uncertainty.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. See, here's a picture of them. Not across.
Oh, so this guy was sitting right by
her. He
was
actually sitting right next to her. And it seemed like they were in conversation at first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then you get closer and then he moved and sat across at the column where she was sitting.
Yeah. That's wild.
It was pretty great.
Remember Dwayne Hansen?
Oh, yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
People love his work. There's a police officer or a security guard at SF MoMA.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
everyone was taking, I mean, of course, in the age of selfie, everyone loved taking selfies with him.
Mm-hmm. That's weird because in the selfie, you never know what's what.
And then the guards would be in the selfie oftentimes because the guards would have to ask the visitors not to stand so close.
Oh, yeah.
And so then the guard would be in the selfie. Like,
oh,
in a,
my
like a
Lord.
Whole group photo,
oh, my
which is
Lord.
Like really cute.
Okay, Mason, I got the scoop here.
What's the scoop? There was also this weirdo piece. Oh, my God. I love it so much. It's like a weird penis belly. Same artist.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hairy.
Makes me want to make sculptures.
It's pretty amazing. It's very compelling, or I don't know.
You want to touch it.
You want to touch it. You want to make something like that. I understand that.
Okay. Point is, Mason, silicon is a naturally occurring.
Oh, I thought we were going to have our science episode next week.
Oh, okay.
No,
that's
go
a
ahead.
Good idea for an episode.
Let's start with this one.
Oh, okay. Silicon is just a naturally occurring chemical element. Silicone is synthetic.
So they have nothing to do with one another?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay, silicone is the synthetic version of silicon?
Well, silicon is the 14th element of the periodic table.
Oh, you were
it's
right.
It's a metalloid, meaning that it has properties of both metals and nonmetals. It's the second most abundant element in the Earth's crust.
So it's a metal.
After oxygen. I only know this because when I was in my remedial science class in high school, we had to learn the 16 most common elements. We didn't
and
have
silicon
to learn
was
them
one
all.
Of them?
Oh, yeah. On Earth. Most common on Earth.
Wow.
Yep.
Wait, most common in what? Like most commonly occurring, existing?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Not most
on
commonly
Earth,
used
on
by
Earth.
Humans.
Got on it. Earth, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It bonds with oxygen, of course. Doesn't everything.
Doesn't everything.
Okay. But usually if you're running into it on your normal daily basis, you're probably looking at, guess what?
A computer.
Quartz.
Quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz.
Yep. Which is the most, and it's also the most common component of sand.
Sand. Mm-hmm. What does it have to do with Silicon Valley.
Okay, so
get me there.
Silicon has many industrial uses. It's a key ingredient in bricks, concrete, and glass. And it also makes enamel, pottery, and ceramics.
So is it a metal?
It's in modern electronics because it's used in semiconductors. When it's heated into a molten state, it can be formed into semiconductive wafers to serve as the base for integrated circuits or microchips. So that's why.
Okay.
Got it?
Thank you.
Silicone is a synthetic polymer made of silicon, oxygen, and other elements. Okay. It's most typically combined with.
Do it. You can do it.
Carbon and hydrogen.
Okay.
Okay. And it's generally either a liquid or a rubber-like plastic.
Right.
AKA
sex toys. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of dildos.
I was actually thinking like baking ware.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Spatulas, like gloves, those rubbery spatulas are, yeah.
Cutting boards.
Uh-huh. They have
baking,
silicone.
They have now those baking sheets.
Uh-huh. And the mitts. The grabber mitt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And of course, as we all know, implants.
Right.
Silicone boobs, implants.
Or whatever.
Catheters, contact lenses, some bandages.
Are catheters made out of silicone?
And of course, personal lubricants and sex toys.
Right.
We just learned so fucking much today. People should pay us for this podcast.
Can you do a project with your students on silicon and silicone? You don't want to do that.
I could bring it up and hope that they do it. They won't.
Let's get a sculptor to do that in their class. I'm going to talk to Kathy Liu.
Okay.
Oh, maybe.
Or Toria Cummings, I feel like.
Might do something with that.
Could be interested. Any artists that do end up making work off this, please go ahead and donate to the show. If you go to our website, congratulationspinetree.com, there's a donate button somewhere on that website. Just look out for it. I think it's red. Email us a very sincere thanks for all the great information and ideas we're giving you today. Email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can tweet us at @PineTreePodcast, or you can give us a call or text at 419-351-6606. And I have to do a PSA, Maysoon.
You better not be calling from some fucking phone bank.
Look, there's just a rash of horrible, fraudulent scammers out there calling you with a robot voice, telling you that the IRS is about to issue a warrant for your arrest.
That's so really scary.
Look, it's not real. That's not how the fucking IRS lets you know that you're fucking around with a robot voice to your cell phone.
Nope.
No, that's not how they do it. No one's going to contact you in any official capacity. Don't fucking robot voice.
Don't give them any information.
Don't give anyone any information.
Don't call them back.
No. I called them back today. I had my final straw. And I was like, I was coming out with guns
a-blazing.
I was
trying to record it for all of you. It was so good.
And I just told them they need to stop calling my number or I'm reporting them to the FBI. Point is, Maysoon, I did go to the FBI's fucking website to report fraud and shit. It is too hard. There's so many
fucking
things you have to fill
bullshit.
Out and like supply
God.
Documentation and stuff like that. But look, guys, if somebody wants to take the time to do that, go ahead and do it. I'm sorry I didn't do it.
I wish they had a form, like a simple form for those of us lay people who could just say, this number keeps calling me.
Yeah, get the
and
number.
It's
and the number is from
business.
Kansas City. But
and then the FBI can be like, okay, we've now gotten 100,000 complaints about this number. Let's actually go look into it.
Yeah, what's up,
like,
FBI?
We're not going to have all the information they're asking for.
Maysoon.
Yes?
What if it is the FBI?
What if it's the IRS, you mean?
No, the FBI. Doing the IRS creepery. I don't know. I feel like
afraid,
it's some
so
weird
it's
governmental
possible.
Catfish situation. But Maysoon, Trump's out in England.
He's
London.
In England right now.
They're protesting like wild.
I fucking love it.
I love it
so.
Too. God. Do you think they're not going to Brexit? This is, let's spend 1 minute only talking about this since we're not experts. But do you think Brexit's really going to happen? Shout out to my British friends.
Didn't it already happen? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, they voted on it, but they haven't actually left the EU
yet. Oh, they haven't actually left
yet. Because, you know, Theresa May's doing, now they're calling it Brino.
Oh, what the hell is
which
that?
Means like, Brexit in name only. So they're saying like, we're
what
not.
What's the point of
well,
that?
Well, because they're saying soft Brexit, hard Brexit. Like, how are we actually going to disentangle ourselves from the EU?
Mm-hmm.
this is what I heard on the BBC. And, you know, if they just do it kind of only symbolically, where they still have to adhere to all the like trade regulations and all the other regulations of the EU, then it's like they haven't fully left the EU, except that they still have to like pay shit, and then they don't have a say in Brussels or whatever on.
They never changed their currency either, though. They're kind of
they were already one foot out the door.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering now if it's not actually going to happen. But I don't know, and I apologize to all the British people listening to this podcast that are sick
pulling
of
their hair out right
now. A Yankee,
they're like, "Shut up, you goddamn Americans!"
Yeah. So, and I also apologize that our shitty president is there.
Yeah,
our horrible
fascist
president.
Don't apologize that England just lost their foot to the World Cup.
Hey, what up with that? Is Croatia going to win?
I'm hoping it's going to be Croatia and France. France is basically impeccable. They've been amazing, but Croatia's also really good, and they're an underdog, and I'm super excited.
Okay. So this shit only goes on every 4 years.
Right? Yeah. Sunday it's going to be over, everyone. I won't talk about it anymore.
I'm not bothered. Okay, Mason, here's an interesting question, okay? We're going to spend 1 minute only talking about this. This is also off topic.
I did really want to say really quick, you can edit this or put it somewhere else, that listeners should send us their science questions. Their
we're doing
related
a science episode
questions.
Next week. We're doing science, apparently. So, okay, point is, Mason, if you could choose one sport to be the sport that everyone freaks out about, like the World Cup, where it's like an international sport competition, but with whatever sport you wanted, what sport would you choose?
Are these existing sports already?
I don't know. You want to invent a sport?
Maybe like a hairbrushing sport?
What would that be like? And why?
I feel like it should be something where, like, you brush someone's hair and you have to make a sculpture out of the leftover hair pieces.
That would be incredible if the whole world was, like, training, you know, like all the little kids getting ready.
There's a lot of hair in this world. And I think you could also incorporate cats, like our pets.
The International Hair Sculpture Competitions. What? What? That's
why
way
not?
Better than
why
my answer.
Any of it?
That's way better
why
than my
any
answer.
Any of it, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, but seriously, so there's that. There's that side of my brain. And then there's like, I do think soccer is awesome and everyone plays it. I grew up thinking soccer was a very elite sport in this country because only my rich friends or only the rich schools had soccer.
Okay.
But then if you look, but then in every other country, soccer
is just ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous, yeah. No matter what your class or financial status is.
Yeah.
And so I do like that about it. Mm-hmm. This year's World Cup had so many teams that have never been in the World Cup before, or like so many teams that are just small, underdog, not well-funded teams, you know? And so that's like, that's awesome that like some of these countries could be in the running and real competitive.
I would make it women's softball.
Women's softball.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's my pick, but I'm going to say that's my second place pick after Hair Sculpture International.
I think everyone...
I like the creativity of it. Would there be a speed element of how fast
can you gather
the hair?
It has to be a speed element.
And how fast you make the sculpture.
Yeah. Well, you don't, but you need to also
God
make...
damn it, I'm so excited for this.
Also need to make sure you're gathering hair, but not hurting someone.
Right.
Like there has to be this finesse to it.
Of course.
You know, like you get the...
You lose points.
You find like everyone has very different like wrist motions to gathering hair. You know,
and
like it becomes
how
this...
is it judged? I think that there should be a quantitative rather than a qualitative judgment process where maybe it's the biggest sculpture. What do you think? Yeah, I don't like the subjective aspect.
I'm not sure if
judgment,
I like the biggest
you
versus...
Because then...
what if it's a small... What if it like... What about miniatures? You know, like they're amazing. That's amazing.
Maybe there would be several
it's
events.
It's as challenging to make something tiny as it is to make something huge,
right?
So sometimes I wouldn't want to do quantitative.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that.
We're going to work this out. Can you make some sketches of this competition?
Oh, for sure.
Just a few.
For sure.
One, maybe?
Okay, and if you have sketches, be sure to send them in to us. But until then, we're just going to be kicking it from the bridge
to the other bridge
to the island in between. This has been
Congratulations, Pine Tree.